Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Sam Greenspan is not the kind of person who looks back on their undergrad days and gets wistful. Sam's never been to a college reunion or an alumni mixer. But back in the spring, they sat down to write a letter to their college newspaper.
Yeah, let me find it.
The newspaper? It's called The Catalyst.
Dear Catalyst team, I'm a reporter and radio slash podcast producer who's an alum of New College and who also happens to be queer and trans.
The Catalyst is the student paper for the New College of Florida.
I was never Catalyst staff, but if you dig through the archives, and I hope you won't, you'll find some very questionable opinion pieces I submitted over the years.
Sam was partially sending a letter of support. They'd been watching, slack-jawed, as Florida's governor, Ron DeSantis, executed a remarkably swift takeover of this tiny liberal arts school, replacing college leadership, even changing the kinds of students that got admitted. But deep in this carefully worded note was a request to return to campus and get an up-close look at how the Catalyst has been reporting on the governor's changes. Sam signs off with a written equivalent of a raised fist of solidarity.
As someone who is very unaware that I was queer and trans, but all too aware that I was a weirdo who didn't fit in, New College became my haven. If its spirit of individuality and freedom of thought wasn't such a threat to fascism, DeSantis wouldn't be trying so hard to crush it.
How quickly did you hear back?
Let me see. So I sent that on April 10th, and then I heard back from her on April 13th. And so I think maybe like 2 or 3 weeks later, I was on a plane back to Sarasota, where I hadn't been in 12, 13 years, I think.
Sam arrived to find a small but dedicated newsroom of people working to cover what's become a national story, the sudden and complete upending of every piece of New College's culture. That culture is quirky. Maybe you'd expect that on a campus where the college hall is actually a mansion built for one of the Ringling brothers. When Sam was an undergrad, the most controversial piece they submitted to the paper came after a student government election resulted in an actual student losing to a prank write-in candidate, Mr. T.
So I wrote an op-ed arguing that we should give Mr. T honorary student status so that he could hold office at the campus. I believe that's what I was writing about.
Fast forward to today, the student paper is covering stories like the college president being fired, the gender studies program getting dissolved, the diversity, equity, and inclusion office shutting down entirely. For Governor DeSantis and his allies, what's happening here is a prototype for how education can be remade everywhere. And the kids at the college paper, they know it.
You know, I think there was a lot of gallows humor. There was a lot of sort of, you know, laughing us to not cry. But it was also just sort of like, it makes sense to me that someone who would come to New College is used to the world being kind of awful to them in large or small ways. And so in a way, maybe it wasn't totally shocking because it's like, oh, yeah, of course they wouldn't let a bunch of queer kids like have their own no rules college, you know, and then on Florida taxpayer dollar. Like, of course, they're going to try to gut this.
Today on the show, an inside look at what going back to school in Florida's new prototype liberal arts college is really like. I'm Mary Harris. You're listening to What Next? Stick around. This episode is brought to you by Discover. When it comes to your finances, Discover wants you to know they are the credit card that is always there for you. With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, that means no more waiting for, quote, normal business hours just to get a hold of someone. We are talking real service from real people whenever you need it. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Let's start by talking about what New College is all about, or what it has been about before this year. It's a tiny school with just under 1,000 students. It was founded in 1960 as an experimental private college, but in 1975, it became part of the Florida state system. It kept its unique character, though. For Floridians, it promised the vibe of a small, quirky liberal arts school, but with an in-state price tag.
It's a very DIY place where people, you know, for lack of a better word, like, you know, the weirdos from high school would go and find each other and just had this kind of incredible space to just build whatever you wanted to in terms of the campus culture, in terms of your education. It was really only limited by your imagination.
And it has like no grades, right?
Yeah, that's right. So New College is unique in a lot of ways. There's no grades, and every student gets a written evaluation for every class. There's no credits. Every student has a contract with an academic advisor. And there's no real required classes. Like disciplines will have their own requirements, but there's no like core classes or anything like that. And it's also really, really small. I mean, it's, you know, so when I studied anthropology there, there were 3 faculty members, you know, in my division.
And it's always been a little bit turbulent, right? Like in 2020, there was a push to combine New College with the larger University of Florida. Like it seems like for a little while now, Florida has been trying to solve the problem of New College, if you want to put it that way, although I'm sure the people on campus would not call it a problem. But you know what I mean? Like there was some sense of that.
I think that's right. I think New College stands out when you just look at the numbers of New College in terms of how much is the college spending per student. It's super high compared with other schools because, you know, there's just fewer students and just, you know, the way that math works, I guess, makes it look like a huge aberration. And New College, you know, it has had a bit of a, I don't know if it's turbulent exactly, but it's had a history of in a lot of flux. So I know that what really helped the school for a long time was that a Florida lawmaker named Bob Johnson was an early and ardent supporter of the school. And he was a Republican state lawmaker who had, you know, enough clout to kind of protect the school for a long time. He just really believed in it. I was talking to an alum who was there in my year, and he was telling me that he was recalling a time when he was watching the, I think it was the Bush-Kerry debates with a campus administrator, and the administrator said, you know, it's a good thing that we have Bob Johnson looking out for us, because all it would really take would be for, you know, Congress or the governor to decide there's like too many gay people at that weird Florida school and just kill it. And he said that conversation happened around like 2003, 2004, I guess.
Wow. Seems prescient now.
Yeah. The student told me that it gave him a lot of perspective on how fragile the place was. And even at the kind of highest levels of the school government, knew that they were, you know, a little bit precarious.
This feeling of precariousness came to a head back at the beginning of the year when Florida Governor Ron DeSantis set his sights on overhauling New College.
What it is. And so the mission has been, I think, more into the DEI, CRT, the gender ideology, rather than what a liberal arts education should be. And so we're going to be able, I think, to offer some.
He appointed 6 new members of the Board of Trustees, essentially giving the board a conservative majority. The new members included a dean of a conservative Christian college, Hillsdale, and also Christopher Rufo, the Manhattan Institute fellow who is credited with launching a panic over critical race theory in schools. But even Sam didn't realize how serious the change was going to be until the new trustees met for a board meeting at the end of January.
I think everybody can hear me if I speak up. And so I'm calling the meeting to order and we'll have roll call.
I was starting to write a thing for them, the Condé Nast LGBT magazine, about the changes. And my first draft was like pretty jokey, I think, and pretty like, oh, you know, they're deciding to, you know, pick on the little guys at New College, but it's always kind of a little bit of a shit show over there anyways. But when I watched it, I was like, holy cow, this is for real. Like, this is for
Trustee
real,
Kessler?
Real.
Here.
Trustee Lipinski.
Here.
Trustee Mackey.
And what did they do in the meeting?
They walk in, they sit around the dais, and, you know, in a lot of ways, it looks pretty normal. There are just people, you know, in suits and business attire just sitting on a table on a grainy live feed. So basically they just start grandstanding about the school and what they want to do with it and how the school is failing and how it's a good thing that they're there to rescue it.
This college is languishing. It needs to be revived. It's got a great potential future. It can be much larger, much more influential, much more flourishing in the Florida system.
Is the school failing by some metric?
The metrics that they were using was like, I think students who graduate in 4 years or 5 years or 6 years, which I think are maybe lower than the average at, you know, the rest of the Florida university system. So the new trustees were able to find some metric by which they were able to argue that New College was failing and good thing that they were there to rescue it. But like, you know, I would say students and alums and certainly faculty saw through it like immediately. It looked like a hostile takeover.
So I think the terms of this agreement clearly signal a recognition on all parties' parts that current leadership is not appropriate for the situation in which we find ourselves.
Agreed.
You know, they spent like 45 minutes examining the terms of the school president's employment contract, like there on the dais. She's sitting right there.
So I'd like to make a motion that we terminate President Oker based on the terms reflected in the...
And they're just like reading, you know, having the school lawyer like read them and interpret the subclauses around termination so they can figure out how to do it, you know, legally. And then they just fire her.
Trustee Bauerlein?
Yes.
Trustee Jinks?
Yes.
Trustee Karp?
Yes.
Trustee Keenan.
And then they fired the legal counsel, you know, one guy who was there giving them the legal, you know, in the first place.
Wow. So at the end of this meeting, the president's out and it's very clear the college is headed in a different direction.
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of the first shot. And then I think 2 months after that initial firing, the initial meeting, they installed Richard Corcoran, who's the former Speaker of the House for the Florida State House.
He also used to lead the Department of Education in Florida for the state, right?
He did. That is correct. He also, I believe, has a number of corruption allegations against him as well.
Well, he's also been very outspoken about how he sees education. Like, he's spoken very publicly about the fact that he sees education as a sword, a weapon, essentially. And clearly he sees who is learning what and how as an existential crisis.
I hadn't heard that exactly, but it makes a ton of sense from what I know about him. I mean, this is the guy who told his, you know, admission staff that they were his SEAL Team 6 in, you know, recruiting the next wave of student athletes, right?
That new wave of student athletes was just one of many changes that followed the board meeting back in January. But it's worth lingering on this change because before this year, New College didn't even have a baseball field. Now, nearly half of the school's incoming class is made up of student athletes. The trustees made other changes, both big and small. They denied tenure to 5 faculty members. They eliminated the gender studies major for future classes. And they axed the school's diversity, equity, and inclusion office. The students at the college paper, who Sam was following, noticed other changes too, like a change to the school mascot and a new on-campus cafe whose paper cups had Bible verses on them. Tell me how the year ended last year. Like, I know you were reporting during graduation, right?
Yeah. So basically, these two students, graduating students, had this idea that they wanted there to be an off-campus graduation as like a protest graduation, as like this is the, you know, the true graduation, because the other one is just going to be a farce.
Yeah. Why was that important to them? The official graduation, what was upsetting about it?
Yeah. So the school announced that its speaker was going to be Scott Atlas, who, you know, is a radiologist who advised Trump on COVID policy. And remember, these are students that lived through COVID. One of the organizers, Maddie Markham, I mean, she lost both her grandparents to COVID. And so it felt like the ultimate slap in the face, I think, to these students. At this point, they just want to get their diplomas and leave. And it's like, and the school administration is like politicizing this thing that's like supposed to be, you know, a celebration of them. So basically this like ragtag group of graduating students and a couple alums put together a GoFundMe, and they raised $132,000 in like under a month. And they booked an art museum, you know, about a few miles from campus. And every graduating student and their family was able to go.
What was the feeling? Because I feel like it could be celebratory or it could be a little solemn.
Oh, my God. It was joyous. It was joyous.
We, as a community, are not capable of the cruelty they are inflicting, thanks to the love that we share with each other.
Was it joyous, partially because these students, most of them were leaving?
I think so. I mean, I think for the students, at least, it felt like an end cap, a moment in time for them to like remember, like, you know what? We did this. And we are the class that had so much adversity to just get our education. We came to New College for a reason, and we love this place, and we just want to celebrate it.
After the break, new year, new college. Can this place withstand such a massive cultural shift?
Coming soon from Slate Podcasts.
So, first it was Dade County.
Voters in the Miami area repealed civil rights for gay people by a 2-to-1 margin.
In the late 1970s, cities around the country began rolling back anti-discrimination laws that protected gay people.
And then it was Wichita, St. Paul, Eugene.
Successful campaigns against the gay community, which shocked us all.
A state senator from California watched the laws fall and saw an opportunity.
Homosexuality is a most repulsive lifestyle.
His name was John Briggs, and he wanted to deliver the anti-gay movement its biggest prize yet.
California realized that they were coming for us.
I'm Christina Cotterucci. This season on Slow Burn, we'll explore how a nationwide backlash against gays and lesbians led to a massive showdown in California.
Now it's something called Proposition 6, the Briggs Initiative.
It would call for firing any teachers in California who practice homosexuality.
Your life as you knew it would be destroyed.
We've got to fight back. We can't let this happen in California.
The Briggs Initiative would be the first statewide vote on gay rights. Gay rights now! Gay rights! With so much at stake, young people became activists.
We were all coming out all day long, every day.
And activists became leaders.
My name is Harvey Milk, and I'm here to recruit you.
Slow Burn, Season 9, Gays Against Briggs. Out May 22nd, wherever you listen.
If we lose here, it'll be 50 years before we ever get back up again.
Like the drag queens say, take out the earrings, sharpen the nails, there ain't no going back.
If you want to understand what is happening in the United States right now, you really need to understand what's happening with the courts, the law, and the Supreme Court. The battle between democracy and whatever this cage match is that we're witnessing, it's going to be won and lost at the ballot box, but it's also going to be won and lost in the courtrooms. I'm Dahlia Lithwick. I host Slate's legal podcast, Amicus, and we are doubling our output, bringing you weekly episodes from here on in, because how else can we keep an eye on the many trials of Donald Trump, the conservative legal movement's assaults on our rights, the Supreme Court's latest slate of environmental gutting, gun safety eviscerating cases on the docket. So follow Amicus wherever you get your podcasts, new episodes dropping every Saturday morning.
So you kind of left off with graduation, but now it's September. Classes have just started back up at New College. What is your sense of how the year's going so far? My understanding is that in the last few months, a lot of students have transferred out and a lot of faculty have left, like a stunning amount. Can you just characterize the change that's happened?
I mean, I don't know if I can swear here, but the best way to describe this would be a shit show, I think.
Huh.
I mean, it looks like absolute chaos on the campus. So 40, I think around 40 faculty members of from New College out of like 90. So it's like 40 of 90 are not there.
Whoa.
You know, some left, some took leave. So there's a lot of reports of classes just getting canceled. The school administration is ardent that that's not happening, but, there's plenty of evidence that it is. Students are being told like, hey, your biology class is canceled. Try taking something else. The dorms that have historically been given to upperclassmen, these kind of apartment style dorms with their own kitchen, those were just taken away from all the returning students and given to these incoming, athletes. And, you know, not that they shouldn't have good housing facilities, but it's just, it seems very much like a, you know, a supremacy move of just giving, you know, like they're just being, students are being told this is not for you anymore.
Where were they placed instead?
They're put in two different hotels, one close-ish to the college, one about 4 miles away. And I think they're like not allowed to have guests, they're not allowed to cook. It's very confusing and very authoritarian, it seems. There's like a shuttle bus that runs like once an hour, maybe, or something, but like, you know, a lot of students don't have cars. And it's, you know, it's not a place with functional public transit. And I just saw yesterday, I think it's around a third of the returning New College students are not coming back.
It's almost comical. It's like a Revenge of the Nerds subplot kind of thing.
It's like Revenge of the Nerds or something. It's like, you know, yeah, it's Revenge of the Jocks, I guess. I mean, and again, I don't want to disparage the students who are coming in to play sports, because I think all the students are kind of bound up in this together. It just, any appearance that, you know, the administration was putting up of like, as Richard Corcoran said, like, we're not subtracting, we're adding here, to paraphrase him. Any appearance of that is just gone now, that they're basically just kicking these students to the curb.
The students are one thing, but with the faculty that have been leaving, the impression I get from the administration is they're saying basically, okay, great, we're cleaning house. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's a takeover. It's there, you know, it's, you have this external group that is coming in and ripping the resources away for the people that they think are more important. I mean, that's what supremacy is. So one of the students that I spoke with for my story, Basil Pursley, who was a copy editor at The Catalyst, he's just brilliant kid, had wanted to go to New College since he was like, you know, basically like 12 or so, and was just really flourishing there. And was just sort of like, okay, well, there's, you know, basically there's some changes, some jocks are going to come, maybe a professor or two will leave, but like, it's going to be a little chaotic. But you know, New College is a place that Basil wanted to go since he was like 12. So he wasn't like about to just up and leave. I mean, his plan had been to just rush through, and graduate early, but his partner's faculty advisor left, and his faculty advisor left, and then he found out that he wasn't even going to have his dorm, and he was going to be either stuck in some hotel or some other part of campus that he didn't want to live in. And so he joined the ranks of a pretty big number of students, I think around 40 at this point, who have basically been airlifted to Hampshire College in Western Massachusetts.
Because Hampshire basically said, you can pay your same tuition that you've been paying to New College here.
Yeah, which is incredible. I mean, it's not totally out of the blue. New College and Hampshire have had a kind of reciprocity agreement for a long time. And they're sort of in a consortium of like innovative, you know, experimental colleges, something like that. So there's like 40 students, around 40 students who are starting at Hampshire. And that I think is going to be really interesting to see how they do. And, you know, it's sort of like the New College community in exile. And there are, you know, and Basil told me that him, his partner, and two other New College students, one of them a Catalyst person as well, are all getting like a little dorm together at the Hampshire campus.
Just in the last week or so, I noticed that Christopher Rufo, one of these new trustees who was appointed by Ron DeSantis, he penned an editorial where he pushed back against the concern voiced by students at New College and journalists, too. And I want to just talk about the points he made. He made one point that resonated with me, which is that when you read reporting about what's happening at New College, the same people come up again and again. It's the same voices who are saying that what's happening is unfair and wrong. And I just wonder, is it fair to say that it's a small number of people in the college community who are resisting the changes that the governor wants to make here?
I haven't read it, but the short answer is no. I didn't talk to a single person at New College who wasn't at least a little concerned. You know, these students who are coming forward are very brave, and like a lot of them are concerned for their safety.
Yeah, I mean, Christopher Rufo made this other argument that I think is harder to swallow. He asks, you know, why are liberals so worried about a little college in Florida? And I say it's harder to swallow because he follows that up by saying New College is a prototype and the project to reclaim authority has begun. And I feel like you can't say those two things at the same time, that like pay no attention to the little college in Florida, but then also we're here to reclaim our authority.
Yeah, he said the quiet part out loud. I mean, he... he says it himself that like New College is the prototype.
You said in the past that you weren't particularly attached to New College as an alum. And I guess I wonder if that's changed at all now. Do you feel more attached or less?
I do feel attached to New College in a way that I didn't before. You know, I hadn't kept in touch with a ton of friends from the era. You know, it's a very small place and a lot of small town politics can apply. And, you know, it was a place that I was really glad to be a part of and a place I was glad to move on from. But yeah, I mean, to be honest, I never owned a single piece of New College swag until this takeover happened. The first thing I did was I went online and I bought a New College sweater because I'm like, these are going to become collector's items soon.
Do you picture yourself going to like a reunion at some point?
Maybe. I'm not sure. I kind of have to see how this shakes out, but I live pretty far from Florida now. But you know, through this process of reporting, I've reconnected with a bunch of people who are still there. And it made me realize how much I do care about this special, weird little nook, you know, on a former circus magnate's backyard.
Sam, I'm so grateful for your time and your reporting. Thank you for taking this time with me.
Thank you so much.
Sam Greenspan is a freelance journalist and an alum of New College. And that's our show. What Next is produced by Paige Osborne, Elena Schwartz, Rob Gunther, Madeline Ducharme, and Anna Phillips. We're led by Alicia Montgomery with a little help from Susan Matthews. Ben Richmond is the Senior Director of Podcast Operations here at Slate. And I'm Mary Harris. Go track me down on Twitter, X, whatever you're using. I'm at Mary's desk. Thanks for listening. Catch you tomorrow.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Coming soon from Slate Podcasts.
So, first it was Dade County.
Voters in the Miami area repealed civil rights for gay people by a 2-to-1 margin.
In the late 1970s, cities around the country began rolling back anti-discrimination laws that protected gay people.
And then it was Wichita, St. Paul, Eugene.
Successful campaigns against the gay community, which shocked us all.
A state senator from California watched the laws fall and saw an opportunity.
Homosexuality is a most repulsive lifestyle.
His name was John Briggs, and he wanted to deliver the anti-gay movement its biggest prize yet.
California realized that they were coming for us.
I'm Christina Cotterucci. This season on Slow Burn, we'll explore how a nationwide backlash against gays and lesbians led to a massive showdown in California.
Now it's something called Proposition 6, the Briggs Initiative.
It would call for firing any teachers in California who practice homosexuality.
Your life as you knew it would be destroyed.
We've got to fight back. We can't let this happen in California.
The Briggs Initiative would be the first statewide vote on gay rights. Gay rights now! Gay rights! With so much at stake, young people became activists.
We were all coming out all day long, every day.
And activists became leaders.
My name is Harvey Milk, and I'm here to recruit you.
Slow Burn, Season 9, Gays Against Briggs. Out May 22nd, wherever you listen.
If we lose here, it'll be 50 years before we ever get back up again.
Like the drag queen say, take out the earrings, sharpen the nails, there ain't no going back.